Lines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we have a fantastic show. We're going to be speaking about Tznius. We're going to have Reb David Cohn speaking about what's the halacha, what's chumra, what's minig hamakom. A lot of people think a lot of things are halacha, and they're just totally not. So let Reb David Cohn lay it out. We will have Rabbi Simon Jacobson, who's the editor of the Allgemeiner Journal. He's going to be speaking about writing women out of papers, where it started, etc. And then we'll have a great educator, Dr. Leslie Klein from Baltimore, Malot in Baltimore. She's a secular dean, and she'll be speaking about, again, Chinuch of Tznius to young women. It's a fantastic program, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Welcome, friends and listeners, and participants with all the emails we get. Something wonderful. Do you know that Headlines 2 is going to be published and going to be in your Sfarim stores in the next 2 weeks? It took around 2 years to write. I took 24 of what I thought were the best, you know, episodes, programs that we had with the Rabbanim. We have, you know, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, Rabbi David Cohn, Rabbi David Yosef, Rabbi Asher Weiss, their opinions from Mordechai Willig, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, etc., etc. I took the Rabbanim who were on those programs from three continents, and I put it into, you know, with the article that, you know, created it, the article in the news, the first headlines, I believe, the all-time bestseller of the OU. So this, again, is being published by the OU, which I guess if they kosher allow food, that means they're giving us a hechsher on this too. And it's exciting. It's going to look fantastic. And I think that if you want to have something to discuss over Pesach, and you're sitting Chalamayit and you want to talk to your kids about something besides maybe Donald Trump, but you want to talk about an interesting halacha topic that will get your children, your friends, your neighbors interested, arguing, Jews love to argue, go out and get. We only published, the first run is only a few thousand. I'm sure they're going to sell out in a hurry before Yom Tov. So go to your Sfarim store and say, I want headlines too. Next week, we will have a guest host. It will be Harav Eliada Goldwicht of the famous Goldwicht Mishpacha. He will be speaking about our hotels kosher for Pesach. So if you have a friend who goes to hotels religiously, please tell him not to listen to next week's show, because a lot of it, both the halacha as well as conversations with mashgichim, will absolutely surprise you. I have to apologize. We start, I always like to say a little bit of a story about the parsha. So this week is Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh HaZelechem, the new moon, Kiddush, renewal, birth, or rebirth. The moon is constantly rebirthing. What does this have to do with us? Where do we, I mean, I know we make Kiddush Lavana, but Kiddush HaChodesh is the first mitzvah. What is so important? Now, there's so many different levels to understand this, but let me share with you one thought why it's so important in your life. Let me share a story. Do you know, I don't know if you're a history buff, but everybody heard of the great battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War. That's where he gave the great, you know, fourscore Gettysburg address. So General Lee, the great commander of the Confederate forces, that was the high watermark for the Confederacy, and it was considered the turning point in the war. He was defeated at Gettysburg. And the story is, he had gone to West Point, had studied classic Napoleonic, you know, battle. You take a wedge of men, you drive it through the enemy's lines. After you drive through with a large mass the enemy's lines, then they shift left and right. You make a pincer, you get in back of them, you surround them, etc. He had been star pupil in West Point. What he didn't know was what times were changing. And the whole logic of Napoleon was, you get in there, and after you get close, you overrun the enemy, you grapple hand to hand, and then you turn and you surround them. The North armies had big technological advances in their weapons. Instead of their weapons being inaccurate and only being, you know, being from a short range, they had now, through their you know, technology. They had accurate, and they're you know, they were accurate from a greater distance. So the concept of sneaking up, driving a wedge into an army wasn't relevant because they were mowed down before they ever got. There were 15,000 Confederate forces, the finest forces that composed of this wedge. 99% were killed before they ever got to the Union line. They were mowed down by the long-range rifles. 150 made it. So the brilliant General Lee was fighting a battle using yesterday's weapons. And times keep changing. Every day, it says, Kaviyachal says, HaMechadesh B'chol Yom Tuvay. Every day is different. You know, the Nefesh HaChaim says, the reason why we have to daven today, we davened yesterday, why do we have to daven again today? Why do we need another mincha, another mayor of another shacharis? The great Nefesh HaChaim says, because Lav Kahani Levushin the Lavish B'tzafra Lavish B'ramsha, he says, every day is unique. Whatever garments, raiments, Kaviyachal, brought down to this world yesterday, it's not the same as today. Times are changing. General Lee didn't know this. This is, and what does that mean? If you change with the times, then you're current. Then your tefillah is current. You are the one who's aware of the Mechadesh B'tuvay B'chol Yom Tamid. But on the other hand, if you don't, if you're in yesterday and you're not the Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid, you are not doing your job. You are, you know, Sony Corporation was almost brought to its knees. All its data, its emails, its movies, everything was hacked. The company almost went bankrupt. And when they brought in the, you know, the investigators, they left. They said Sony had huge safes and guards by the safes, and their computers were unguarded. They were fighting yesterday's battle. The value of the corporation isn't anymore in the stock certificates in the safe. It's in the information they had on the computers. So what does that mean? That means it's on us, it's incumbent to constantly be aware, renew. Mechadish, Kiddush Levana, what do we say? Tiferes Ateres La Musei Baten, a halo La Musei Baten, to Kval Yisrael, Sheim Asidil Hischadish Kemaisa. Just as the moon renews, we are supposed to renew. We are supposed to come into spring saying, how can I change my relationship that I have with my parents? You know, that same old, with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers. I can't believe you did that again. And they launch back with their, I can't believe. How can we, business, did you have a new idea this spring? Or are you stuck in that, are you still doing that same old thing with your children, with your business, with your learning? Are you still stuck in that rut? I just can't stand X, Y, Z, or I want to grow. Are you still stuck in that? What is now? Now is the time of Pesach. What is the spring? The spring is the time of renewal, of change. Change is scary. I'm comfortable in where I was yesterday. That old shoe fits. Tomorrow. That's scary. There's like a chasm between today and tomorrow. And I have to leap over it. But you know what? Pesach, the Yom Tov when we went from Avdus L'Cheres, it's called Pesach. It means to jump. Pesach is always in the spring. It's always at the time of renewal. And what's the message for this year? How are we renewing ourselves? How are you renewing yourselves? Socially, economically, Yiddishkeit-wise, learning-wise, relationship-wise, are you renewing yourself? Are you being Pesach? Are you being Paseach? Are you leaping over that chasm from where we are to where we're supposed to be with change? Or are we still stuck fighting those same old battles? Hayom atem yoytzim b'chaydish aviv. Every spring, every Pesach, the Gemara Darshan, Pesach always has to come out in the spring because it's the time of renewal. Are you renewing yourself? Am I renewing yourself? Did we have that new idea? That's the message of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Koyach of Chiddush was given to Kfal Yisrael. The Koyach to be Paiseach, to leap, to renew. That's my message. That's your message. Let's go to our great guests. Let's go to one from Brooklyn, New York. Harav HaGoyin, Reb David Cohen, the Mechaber of Too Many Sfarim to mention. And the Merida Astra of Gvul Yavis, welcome to the Rav.
Thank you very much. I always feel welcome when you call me, especially when you give me such an illustrious introduction.
So I want to ask the Rav, to have you on the phone, I'd like to ask you some hashkafa, but not to ask halacha would be a gather of bal tashchis. So before we speak about general policy or hashkafa, I would like to clarify what is halacha in snias and what is chumrah or minig, etc. And I'd like to start by asking a few questions. There seems
I'm
to
ready.
Be a,
go ahead.
Yeah. So there seems to be some a skirt has to be 4 inches below
no,
the
no
knee.
No, no such thing. No, it doesn't say anywhere 4 inches. No one ever could find a makor for 4 inches. 4 inches is the opinion of some chanchim. I think they're the ones behind it. And they feel that that would cover even when a woman would sit or be active. But there's no such thing as 4 inches. It depends on the woman and on the fit. The idea is that the knee has to be covered.
Okay,
halachically also, I heard from Rav Meisher Feinstein Zatzal, and I verified it, that Rav Meisher held that a woman is not mechuyev to wear stockings. She can wear socks. I still have a debate with my wife who claims that it can't be that Rav Meisher didn't require socks. But I verified it through Rav David Feinstein, no, that it's not, halachically, she's not mechuyev even to wear socks. That Rav Meisher said so, halachically.
I think there is
a halacha that if a person is in a makom where the people that of that community are makbid in hilchos snius, that let us say a sleeve must be three-quarter length or full length, so then halacha, because it's minhag hamakom, requires it. So it's a halacha, but it's halacha based on minhag hamakom. But al pi shulchan aruch, it's not so. That's what Rav Meisher held.
And people will
feel that you have to wear stockings, but Rav Meisher held not like that.
And he brings it in Evan as a dalid, a simon kuf. Mm-hmm. He says what the Rav is saying. He refers to it, implies it. But that would be the Makor in Rav Meisher. What about 4 inches above the ankle? They say it has to be 4 inches above the ankle. Is there such any?
It doesn't say anywhere. It's the judgment of someone who said it, and it became a dogma. No such thing. The same thing with wearing certain materials. The only thing we have, the Feirish and Shulchan Aruch, which may have changed, that's the differences of opinion, is the Hamas against wearing red because he felt that red is a priestess color. The Yemeim, it certainly was. Red was considered priestess color. But other than that, no one, it doesn't say anything of these measurements. And the same thing with denim. That in the opinion of someone, denim was supposed to be usa. Because in those days, the stewardesses didn't wear denim. It wasn't chashev. Whatever it means, these are not halachas. These are opinions of individual paiskim, but Klal Yisrael is not bound to that. It's not a clear-cut halacha.
Now, what about the concept of tefach b'isha erva? Rav Meisher writes in two places in the Igris that uncovering the hair less than a tefach is not a problem, and he writes
a problem. Let me just comment this, that as far as what we just said, forgive me if I interrupted you. Again, there are halachas which are based on minhag and they become halacha. And it depends what community you're part of. If you're part of a community where they don't interpret it like Rav Meisher, so even though technically it hasn't got a din erva, technically, but it has a din that you're mechuyev to be covered, that area that your community or rove of the women in the community are makbid to cover becomes halacha, because of Minhag HaMakom. Well, does Minhag HaMakom make it into actual erva? That may be debatable, but you are mechuyev to cover it, because a lot of people make a terrible mistake that they learn the sugya and chavdalit and brachas, which is kol b'sherva, etc., shoik b'sherva, and the sugya and ksuvis, which has to do with oivel neidas moishe v'yehudis, and how a woman should dress. There are two separate imperatives. One is a din erva, and the whole sugya is except the erva mamish. Anything that we say kol b'sha erva is because anything that's ma'orer hearer has a din erva mida rabbanon, that you're not allowed to lay krishma say divrei taira there. There's another imperative which has to do with the woman herself, not legabi the shem erva, but legabi what she's mechuyev to cover, either al tzdas moishe, which the Gemara says sal shal reisha, and das yehudas, which is the minig. And you have a machlokes in das yehudas, is it an imperative that didn't change, or das yehudas will depend on the minig hamakom of that zman? So these are two, there are imperatives that are coming from different places. One is the halacha of a man making a bracha, and one is the halacha of a woman with hilchasnius to be mechuyev to cover herself.
So Ramosha held that you know, it's less than a tefach is not a problem, even like the Ramah. He holds like the Beis Yosef, it's not as shaila, and he says by Sar, even the Ramah's Maida, it's only by Shaik where the Ramah is in Maida. And he says Ein Limnai Afilu Talmud Chacham V'Yir Shemayim Lisa Isha Kazu, who doesn't want to cover. And I don't know if you could pass in from a picture, but I saw pictures of both Rabbi Avadya, so, the great Rabbi Avadya, the Abi Omer, his wife clearly was like the Beis Yosef, and even of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, the same thing. And so my point is that even though there are communities that are makbid, but halacha is the way Rabbi Moshe said it. Is that fair to say?
No, I have to correct you. Okay. Because halacha, and what the woman is mechuyev to do, is to go according to the community that she considers herself a part of. And if in our community, for whatever reason, they will consider it wrong to leave the tefach open, so it has nothing to do with Rav Moshe in his Ike Halacha, but the Halacha of Minhag behooves a woman to cover that area where her community covers.
Okay.
So that becomes a halacha.
Right. Okay. So let me continue with halacha vis-a-vis minig or community. Things like wearing a long shetel. A lot of people think that's not sneistic. Again, is that halacha? Is that feeling?
It's judgment. I'll tell you another judgment that I have. I feel that no matter how long a skirt is, if it has a cut on the bottom, a cut means enticing, and I feel it's not sneistic. Or better yet, a woman who wears totally covered but very tight clothing, what are you going to say in halacha? It doesn't say tight clothing, but it's not sneistic. And I'll tell you more, it's not sneistic for a person to act non-sneistic besides the hanhaga of sneis in clothing. Sneis is a hanhaga. A person who's sanua is not a loud mouth because it's sneis. So there's a meat of sneis, which one could say just like hatsnei alecha simala kecha. There's a meat of sneis. I can't say it goes in the same category. You can't say that it's called erva, that a person can't learn divrei Torah if a woman is shouting there. Certainly not koil. It's not koilich kimarich nove, koilich orev imarich nove. It's not orev, so you can't consider it an erva. And then, of course, you go into the various shitas, and there are machlokes, whether a woman's voice on the radio is considered erva, not to say Kriya Shma to Dovah Shebekdusha, and what about a tape? I think a tape everyone is make, unless it brings the hearer, so it's asur b'shas hearer to do it. But we're talking as far as kol b'yisha erva. So there's a controversy about a microphone. So everyone seems to hold radio is okay. Microphone is wishy-washy, and the tape is mutter.
Okay. Let me ask a question a number of yeshivalite have asked me. How about having married couples over for Shabbos, different married couples? What is the Rav hold on that?
What's wrong? Well, I mean, tell me what you mean. It's wrong, you mean because you're having women and men sit together?
Yes.
Well, first let's go back to the time. This seems to be a true story verified by many people, that the Geir Rebbe of Avraham Moltke Alter Zatzel was once by Chassidim, and certainly by the Rebbes. So there is a great separation. And if there are going to be people there other than the immediate family, the men sit separately from the women, especially by the Rebbe. So when the Geir Rebbe sat down by the Shabbos table, the Chofetz Chaim's Rebbetzin was there. He was shocked. So the Chofetz Chaim showed him the Mishnah in the Masechet Ksuvos that a woman sits with her husband on Shabbos. Now the question is, what about other people, other couples? This, my feeling is, that depends. In the Minhag HaMedina, is such a thing, or here, everyone individual has to be careful about being mistako. It's something that Bavanasenu Harabim, our generation, has to bend backward, because it's the kisholin of our generation in what people are doing with their eyes. And as we all know, this is the tzav hashor, tzav hadoyer, that we have to bend backwards. There are many rayas that when there's a kisholin in a door, then the Chachmi Yisrael do their utmost, if they can, to pull everyone into the other side. I would give you a mucka for it. The Gemara says that in Saita, that when Amram took Yocheved back, he sent her away because of the Gzeira, Kol HaBen Ayila Dayor Tashlichu, and Miriam convinced him. With, you know, you're worse than Pari. Pari le gozer el al ha-tzchorim. So he took her back. So the Gemara says, how did he take her back? Hoishiva ba'apiryayim, which is a chuppah. And Reb Chaim learned that that's why the famous Kash of Rishayna, why do we say Mekadosh Amei Yisrael, ayadei chuppah v'kiddushin, when kiddushin comes first? So Reb Chaim said, because chronologically, in the tzivui to Amram on Chuppah came before the tzivui of Kiddushin, which was Matan Torah. That's what Reb Chaim says. Yeah, ech sheyeah. But the idea is, and I believe he says, the Rambam says in Perek Tes of Malachim, that Amram was Nitzstava Mitzvah Yisayreis. So he says this is one of them, that he got mitzvahs chuppah. So we got it before mitzvahs kedushin. But yeh shiyah, look what Amram did, or look what the tzivui accomplished. Mitzrayim shtufei zima, the Gemara says. And one would think, so take it easy. There's such a tremendous influence among the goyim of shtufei zima, so Yidden evidently are pulled in to the Kristel Sachidelsach, is the famous saying. So here we get a tzivui, it's Shtufei Zima. So Adarabba, do something which is hepech of the concept of Shtufei Zima. Make something where there's Yichud. The Chuppah, the Aishir Bapilion, is Yichud. So you see that the Mahalach is one of do the opposite. That's the way you accomplish, not you go along to the extent that you have to. Now, I am not commenting on a lot of the outreach people who would, if they were to immediately start preaching that everyone should be firm and go to the other side, they will not have an audience. They wouldn't accomplish anything. So the concept of Kirov is one of Hirasha. But you see that normative Judaism reacts in a way that you got to do the opposite of something where the taiva pulls the other way.
So let me ask the Rav a few more questions. Is it possible, and I want to say a svara, maybe the Rav will agree or disagree, is it possible that too much tznius is not good? In other words, we have a letter from a fellow. He said he works in B&H Photo, and he says people come in a whole day dressed in the most most unsneistic, in the summer Manhattan, it's like a fire. He says, I come home and my wife has a shaved head. He said, I think that sneist that brings to Michshel. Is it possible that sneist is, you could have too much sneist, or is it possible that maybe sneist changes according to the situation that you're in?
I have to comment, but this needs a few comments from different angles. There's no doubt that overdoing tznius on an individual, not only tznius, overdoing everything to be mischassed more than a person's madrega is, can be harmful. Rav Tzadok says that Oysa Yo'ish fell the bira amikta because he was trying for chassidus more than his madrega. Rav Tzadok says this concerning Oysiyish. Wow. That means that on an individual madrega, a person has to go up the ladder of chassidus. I don't mean Baal Shem Tov chassidus. I mean what the Gemara calls chassidus. You have to do it by hadraga, not to jump, to take more, to bite off more than you can chew. Because if it won't go by hadraga, you'll fall. That's a klal in the individual's avodas Hashem. If the community, however, like mostly chassidish Eden, what's very interesting is that the Netziv, who is Litta Shebelitta, felt very strongly about women shaving their hair. This was not Hungary, where it was an accepted practice. And then it's held, it's because all the shilas about chatzitza b'shas tefila wouldn't be there, because if the seiros are knotted together, there's a whole problem with tefila. That's why the Netziv liked this idea. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon was totally against it. And he writes, when they told him about this minig, he writes, Alzani Koira Vayesaper Hama Mazaras Ishtai, he meant the Litzanis, from Lushan, he cut her hair, Vayesaper Adam Mazaras Ishtai, he meant the double take on the word, and he was against it. And it's the whole idea of Gilchus Reishimayefas Tayer is to make her less attractive. So you're taking Vadaisi's show, making them less attractive. There are big tinnitus on it. But once a community has accepted it, then it's considered preachless for a person to go against it. There's a very well-known story about the Chazon Ish, where a person who is getting old asked him a shaila about marrying a girl, and he says her mother doesn't cover her hair. So the Chazon Ish dissuaded him from marrying this girl. A year later, there was another shidduch. He figured, same story. He figured he'll ask the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish told him, do the shidduch, wonderful. You know, the girl was wonderful, but the mother didn't cover her hair in both cases. So the Chazon Ish said, do the shidduch. So he said to the Chazon Ish, maybe you forgot. Is it because you told me last year not to do the shidduch? How come you're telling me to do this shidduch? Is it because I'm a year older and not yet married? Chazon Ish told him, I remember quite well last year. Last year, the mother was Hungarian, a Hungarian woman that bucked the community and uncovered her hair, where in Hungary, there was such a kapeda. So that mother is a prutz, so that's why I told you not to marry the girl. But this time, she's Litvish. By the Litvish, many women didn't cover their hair. It doesn't make a mother into a prutz. That's the story, I understand. It's a true story. So bucking the community is in itself like an act of prutzus. And in halacha also, if a person feels this way, but if he's part of a community that they do gilui chareish, it's prutzus to buck the community. You can't do that. Of course, there are people in their individual anhaga v'aveda that overstep the bounds, and there it's really dangerous. But halachically, and in Avedas Hashem, a community has halachas where their minig makes a halacha, and you just can't change it.
So there's a new minig that started, and it's exactly 8 years old. Until 2009, the Jewish Observer would show, which was the leading magazine at the time, used to have pictures of women in the magazines. And since then, Baruch Hashem, Ach Shadara, we've become, holier. And since then, the last 8 years or so, they stopped showing pictures of women. And my question is, in the litter, I mean, when you walked into Rav Chaim Moise's house, there was a full, beautiful picture of his daughter. Everybody, it was his beloved daughter who died. He had a giant picture of his daughter.
Yeah, that she was Nifta when she was, I think, 17 or so, yeah. Bas Yechida.
Yeah, and he said he started forgetting after that. It was the tragedy of his life. And then you had, the Chafetz Chaim, pictures of the Chafetz Chaim and his wife sitting outside, that recently they now whited out the face of the Chafetz Chaim's wife. When Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the sefer about his wife, was printed, so he looked at it and he said, where's the Rebbetzin? All they had was pictures of himself. So my question is...
That's not a minig. What you just now described is not a minig. It's known as sales competition. There was a time in yeshivas when a tremendous amount of the Bachrim went to college. But then when another yeshiva made all kinds of gzeiras and made it more difficult to go to college, the other yeshivas didn't want that you are more chashuv than I am, or teaching in Yiddish. The same thing. That's called competition. I don't want people to think that you are holier than I am. Therefore, if you made a certain gedder, I have to make the gedder too. So it doesn't mean it's a minig, and it doesn't mean achshadara. It just means that if there's a community that feels that if they're going to have women's pictures, people will criticize them. So they decided not to. So their competition can't let them be frumma in the chitzonius. So they stopped doing it. But that's not a minig. That's known as sales competition.
So I want to ask the Rav a hashkafa, more of a hashkafa, Shaila. The Gemara says Hatznei Aleches and Hashem Alekecha was obviously given to men. It says the Talmud Chacham shouldn't talk about how much he knows. It's are we
given
perhaps
to men? What's your makor? The Navi is talking to all of Klal Yisrael.
I meant even to men. To all of Klal Yisrael. So is it possible that?
Oh, sure. I said Shneis is in dress. First of all, the Gemara describes a beggar of a Talmud Chacham. That at home it hits the ground. That's part of the tznius.
So,
but and they wore togas or whatever it was, but they're tznius by everyone because they're tznius in Levush, and then they're tznius not to brag when you're doing a mitzvah. Sometimes there's a tshuvas harashba that if I know you are doing a mitzvah, I'm a farsa mitzvah.
By tzedakah.
It's chizuk that it's praiseworthy. But of course, a person on his own should do Hatznei Aleches. and all the yonim of Tzinius.
So how would the Rav,
the men as well, of course.
So how would the Rav, if you had to close it, how would you want to tell a generation what is Tzinius? How would you define it?
I'm not understanding what your question is. Tzinius is modesty. Modesty is a midah which expresses itself in speech, in mannerism. I've seen people totally dressed. I once saw many years ago a Rav, a modern Rav, but a Shema Tavu Mitzvahs, and he read a Ksuba, and I felt the way he read the Ksuba was like Nivel Peh. And my feeling in his stance, in his gesticulations, I felt that a person could do Nivel Peh just by body movement. And that's what I felt. He's not Tzinius, Dick. Tzinius is an outward expression of Pnimius. And that's what I said. Well, a braggart is not Tzinius, Dick, because he's bragging. Well, I did this, I did that. It's an expression that's hepach Tzinius. And there were many ways, and we know this, music is an expression. How many times have I criticized bands? And sometimes, some years ago, I was Meicher Barab. There are nigunim, music is a language. And there are certain nigunim, which I would call it Nivel Peh. And the way it's played. The famous...
Ask the Rav another question. Is a new mada, I think it's new, but maybe not. I saw the marshal, somebody sent me a Kol Kaira from Borough Park about there's going to be a big asifa and all the terrible tragedies that are happening to the community because of women's tzinius. So I opened up...
I don't have any makar for that. And there's a story. It was an almost tragedy. But many years ago, a woman was driving, and a man was walking in the street in a very hefkadik way, and she almost hit him. So she got out of the car and said, "Am I glad that I didn't hit you? Because if I would have hit you, the next day they're going to be in Asifa, and they would blame us women for not being dressed sneistic. We're guilty for all the tragedies that occur." No one has a right to make that statement, unless he's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. And I have my doubts about those who are making the statements, whether they are Baal Ruach HaKodesh. How can you make these kinds of statements? I object. I object very strongly. I objected very strongly many years ago. There was a tragedy, a great tragedy in Petach Tikva, where a Rav got up and said that the reason for this, the Jewish children, secular children, were killed. I think it was a bus accident. And the unfeeling Rav, it was an act of achzarius, said it happened because they want to open up a movie in Petach Tikva, or they already decided on opening a movie. It was such an achzarius to make that kind of statement. And how does he know when Rachmana Litzlan, when Fruma children get hurt, what kind of statement does he make then? Why did it happen? We don't know Seydus Habriya, and we don't know why different things happen. We have no right to make these statements, especially when they exhibit a tremendous amount of cruelty. Turns off people as well, from Kiruv to Frumkeit. But besides that, we have no right to make these kinds of statements.
But more than that, I want to just ask the Rav, because your Yedia Satayr is unparalleled. The Shulchan Aruch, the Taisus Yom Tov, is the famous, he says, speaking in Shul creates tragedies. We know
that... Listen, of course, who has responsibility for the Tzibur should admonish the Tzibur and do whatever they can to tell the Tzibur, this is a terrible thing that's going on, don't do it. But not to say that this and this Einish comes because we're doing this and this.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very big honor. Thank you very much for your time. So that was Reb David Cohn, Sneath. It's not 4 inches below your knee or above your knee or whatever. Well, it's certainly not above your knee, but it's not about that. He says it's an attitude of humbleness, of discreetness, of modesty. And he says it's not just for women, it's for men. Hasnea leches im elokecha. That's said to everybody. Latsnuin chachma. The discreet are wise. You know, I remember years ago I had a funny incident. Gemara Dashin Snuin Chachma says a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to reveal how much he knows, how big he is, because then he's not a Tzanua. The real Chachamim kept it quiet. I learned from Reb Nachum in the Mir, the great Reb Nachum. He had a short little beard. He wore a short jacket. He didn't wear a frock. He didn't look, and we used to call him Reb Nachum. But Snuin Chachma, like the Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham disguises how much he knows. He's discreet about it. Who's the author of Towards a Meaningful Life? He was also a Chayzer. I shouldn't say also. He was prior to that, and more importantly than that, a Chayzer and a Meiniach by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zecharin Livracha. He's also the publisher of the Allgemeiner Journal. We have a newspaper publisher with us. Welcome, Harav Simon.
Thank you very much, Rav David.
So, Rav Simon, we're trying to understand. There's been a lot of talk in the papers late for this number of years how, you know, many of the Haredi papers have taken the position to sort of white out women from the papers. And being that you publish what is arguably maybe the oldest Orthodox paper in America, I don't know if that's true, but it's possible. Yeah. So could you give us a little bit of history on it and a little bit of the ethos behind it?
Sure. You know, I'll start with a story, actually. An interesting story that happened with my father, Gershon Jacobson, who was the founder and publisher and editor-in-chief of the Allgemeine in 1972, was founded. And he had a yechidus, a personal audience with Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they were talking about the newspaper. And one of the questions he asked the Rebbe, he said, there are some askanim, some people, who suggest that the newspaper should have a vad of rabbanim, a group of rabbis, that censor or review that which goes into the paper to make sure it's halachically correct, advertisements, articles, to make sure it's appropriate. And he wants to know the Rebbe's opinion about this. So the Rebbe responded the following, which I found to be fascinating. He said, what happens if the Rabbonim tell you that you have to close the newspaper? So my father smiled and said, if that's what the Rebbe feels and that's what the Rabbonim say, I'll do it. So the Rebbe smiled, a broad smile, and said, what do rabbis have to do with a newspaper? Rabbis have to rule that every second a person has free has to be learning Torah. Every free moment that you don't learn Torah is bittul Torah. So how are rabbis going to come and paskin on a newspaper with who's not about Torah? It's about people, and the Rebbe said, people who read newspapers are not necessarily people who listen to rabbis or people who ask rabbis. And yet, if you have a newspaper and you can bring some Divrei Torah in it, and you can bring some Divrei Chassidus and other things, it will reach even such people. That was the Rebbe's response. I found it to be extremely forward-thinking, because on one hand, we know Torah rules everything. But on the other hand, we do live in a world where there are many things that people are involved in, which I'm not going to say is prohibited or not allowed, but it's definitely not necessarily sanctioned by the Torah. As you said, bittul Torah we know means bittul Torah. And I'll take that as the cue to answer your question. I think it's important to realize the following. If you're printing a Torah journal, if you're printing something that is being produced or published by a Torah organization, a Rabbonim, a yeshiva, any institution, obviously, the halachas, what that rule, what should be published, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, the right rules of tznitz. Once you're dealing with a newspaper, that is more than just covering Torah events. You're covering news and current events, news, things that may be not necessarily, I'm not saying non-kosher, but more neutral, rishus. It's a far different story. Obviously, you don't want to put anything in that's prohibited, that's mamish not allowed if you're a Torah Jew. But on the other hand, your readers are very diverse, and you can't just be going with the guidelines that a rabbinic organization would be going by. So it gets far more into a more, I would say, a rishus area, a type of place. You need to have good judgment call and good standards that really regulate what you do. So let's take another issue of women's pictures of women. So I know there are many so-called Torah-based or from newspapers and magazines that absolutely don't allow it. I'm not here to tell them what to do. If their constituency is one that will not bear or will not tolerate women's pictures, you know, they're serving their constituency and say, hey, that's our advertisers want that, and our readers don't want pictures of women. In a case of the Algemeen reaches a far broader readership, which includes people, that's not an issue for them. So I thought, as a publisher, continuing my father's spirit, that as long as it's not something that's not usher, it's in part of the normal exchange of the world today, that women, not talking about Natsnizdik, we're talking about just the mere fact they have a woman's picture without anything provocative or in any other way, is acceptable. Now, some Rabbanim may say no.
Does the Algemeine print women? I'm ignorant. Yes. I don't read it.
Yes, so, the answer is yes.
And in the lifetime of the Lubavitch Rebbe, Zichron Livracha, did he ever say anything about it?
No, he did not. As a matter of fact, as I said from the story that I told earlier, the Rebbe would not get involved in something like that. You know, if you ask the Rebbe Shaila in Halacha, he would tell you, go to our Rav.
So he clearly...
I want to say it like this. Remember, everyone's entitled not to read a magazine or newspaper if they think it's not their standards. The question really is, to the people who publish, what's their responsibility? You can't tote to everyone's standards. We all know tznius is very relative. Obviously, we're all talking about within the parameters of halacha, and for one community, what they consider to be absolutely acceptable, another community considers to be too non-tznius.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Jacobson. We very much appreciate your opinion and what you've heard over from the Holy Ramash. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, and we're certainly a good service.
Amen.
Bye.
We have on the phone with us from Baltimore, Maryland, Dr. Leslie Klein, who's the Dean of Secular Studies at Ma'alot. She also has a doctorate, a PhD in Jewish education, and the doctorate was about the history of Beis Yaakov. Welcome, Dr. Klein.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Dr. Klein, we're trying to, there's obviously been a trend right now about the disappearing woman from our both newspapers, magazines, etc. In fact, mm-hmm. when we advertised for this particular program, a number of the publications wouldn't allow pictures of the two women who are appearing. So it was just going to be two Rabbanim and two blanks. So we said, look, either you tap all the pictures or none of the pictures. So let's say in the magazines that didn't accept pictures, such as On Me, etc., we just took everybody's picture out. And in those that allowed it, we put everybody's picture in. Because I grew up in a different world. And I'd like to hear, as an educator, can you tell us, is it overall a positive or a negative, have, you know, this trend of, you know, sort of whiting women out of papers?
So I can talk to you a little bit about some of the issues that are raised. Girls and women in our community today are assailed with unsneezed images from the media, and there is nothing to counteract those images. It's somewhat similar to when Beis Yaakov was founded, that girls were receiving all these messages from the secular world, and they had nothing to counteract it from the Jewish world. And that had a very negative impact. And from an education perspective, today I could say that it's very important for girls to see tznius representations to counteract the other images they see. The research shows, sociologist Irving Goffman found that the images that Western media presents of men and women advances values and messages about what they consider appropriate behavior. And we, in turn, absorb those messages. And over time, we come to believe that those conceptions of appropriate behavior and gender roles are normal and are true, when in fact, many of those conceptions and values are antithetical to Frumkeit. So we and our children are constantly assailed with these negative images that are advancing values that we don't agree with, And then that's all our children see, and that's all that we see. There are no frum counter images to counteract the negative images, no pictures of Chasheva Rebbetzins or even everyday women who could serve as role models. Let me tell you about another study. The Journal of Abnormal Psychology found that there is an increase in the numbers of teenage girls with eating disorders, and that's been linked to the increase of images in magazines and media of thinner and thinner models. Girls internalize the message that this is what a woman is supposed to look like. Now, I don't know if this is something that's ever been discussed, but there's a disproportionate number of frum girls with eating disorders. Now, that's an issue in and of itself. But the takeaway for this conversation is that, again, frum girls are not immune to the images that they are seeing in secular society. And these images are having a strong impact on their self-perception. And it underscores the importance of girls seeing images that send the right messages. The American
They have nobody to model. There are no women or girl role models, and all they're left with is a vacuum and imagination of what a girl is supposed to look like.
That's right. And the American Psychological Association actually explicitly says that one of the approaches to counteract inappropriate messages in media is for girls to see alternatives. And they're not seeing alternatives. They're not seeing images that would present Jewish values or a healthy, normal frum life.
Now, somebody who's has a doctorate in history of Beis Yaakov, is this a new phenomenon? Like, historically, how old is the phenomenon of whiting women out?
I would say less than 10 years. This has not been the hanhaga over the generations. The Jewish Observer, the magazine of Agudas Yisrael, published until 2009. They published pictures of women.
Talk to me about, as the dean of Malo, talk to me about what effect does it have on, you know, young American girls who are exposed to the secular world. We walk the streets. It's unavoidable. Does this give them a sort of a negative feeling about a woman's role in Yiddishkeit?
Again, you know, it's always going to depend on the person. I don't think you can give one universal answer. I think there was a study done by the Nishma Institute on why people in Orthodoxy go off the derech. And they interviewed 885. By the way, they estimate there are over 10,000 frum Jews today that are formerly frum Jews who are now off the derech. So they interviewed 885 of them and asked them, why? And the number one reason given by women for why they left frumkeit was because of the status of women in Orthodoxy. I can actually quote you something from there. It's a little bit tough to hear. They said that more people feel they have been pushed off the derech rather than pulled off the derech. Asked why they left, more people cited internal conditions such as the status of women, perceptions of hypocrisy that pushed them out, than cited reasons related to the lure of the outside world. And I do think globally, you know, the community really needs to think about teaching tzniyas from a positive perspective. I can tell you a story.
So
if you look at the examples of Sershnir, Revson Kaplan, they both taught tzniyas from a very positive perspective. They taught tzniyas as, first of all, they led by example. They met girls where they were. So wherever they were holding on the issue, they didn't make them feel bad for struggling or being wherever they were. They worked with them from wherever they were and helped them to grow. They helped them to grow. And, you know, because that's how you build someone. You know, they didn't make students feel bad or guilty for not being up to standards. They led by example, and they built generations of women. And in my research, so many women that I spoke to were turned off by the way that tzniyas was taught.
How was it taught?
English. Not in English. I don't think the word modesty is a great word. I think it has connotations. But I would tell you that SNEAS is not about, it's not about rules or restrictions. I mean, if you teach it as rules or restrictions, that's not going to have a positive impact. I wouldn't tell, you know, look, communities are different. In the mainstream community, I don't think that teaching, telling girls that their lack of SNEAS was a reason for a communal tragedy is effective. You know, it's about how you present it. You can present SNEAS as restrictions, or you can present SNEAS as an opportunity. SNEAS is an opportunity to choose how you present yourself to the world. Think about this, okay? A CEO is not going to wear a tutu to work. Why? Because it's just not appropriate. That's not how a businesswoman would want to present herself. So similarly, you can say the same about SNEAS dress. Instead of looking at it as a restriction, look at it as an opportunity to choose how you are going to present yourself and how you are going to be perceived. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't still a challenge or that it won't be a struggle. I mean, if you look, SNEAS has always been a struggle. You know, girls like to be dressed nicely. I mean, it's always a struggle. But when you frame in the positive, you frame it in terms of growth, not in terms of fear. You know, think about Shabbos. Shabbos is so restrictive, right? I mean, think about all the things you can't do on Shabbos. But do we teach or think about Shabbos as a list of rules? Or is Shabbos an opportunity? You know, is Shabbos a time when you can't check your email, or a time when you can finally unplug and have some peace and quiet? You know, you're learning the same halacha, but one is teaching it as a restriction, and one is teaching it as an opportunity. And there are curriculums that are out there about teaching SNEAS from a more positive perspective.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Klein. This has been really very profound and informative.
Can I actually add one story that I think is important?
Sure.
For
absolutely.
A couple of years ago, I had the zchus to meet Rebbetzin Kanievsky. And when I was sitting in her, I was sitting in her parlor where she receives guests, and her daughter came to take her to a wedding. And while I'm sitting there, I hear she and her daughter have a conversation about what the Rebbetzin was wearing. The Rebbetzin asked her daughter, "Do I look okay? Does this look nice? Do you think that this is an appropriate dress to wear to this wedding?" And I'm thinking to myself, you're Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Whoever the Baalei Simcha are so happy that you're coming to their wedding that nobody cares what you wear. But then I realized, yes, she cares. She cares what she wears. You know, there's a piyut in the Yom Kippur davening that talks all about, you know, the grandeur of the malachim, but that what Hashem really wants is shevach from humans, shevach from people. And that's what I saw that day. That's what I saw, that she cared how she looked. She cared how she would present herself, and she cared that what she was wearing to the simcha would be appropriate. And it was such a normal conversation. And of course, Rebbetzin Kanievsky was dressed so regally because she was a leader and a tzaddikas and a woman who embodied tznius. And she struck that healthy balance of tznius. Like, that was the SNEAS that she embodied, like a healthy perspective towards SNEAS. That could really serve as a role model. And when, after she was Nifteras, and there are all these profiles of her in the magazines, and I'm reading the profiles, and they were beautifully written, and then next to the profiles is a picture of the Welcome to B'nai Brak sign. And I thought to myself, what a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity to teach a generation of girls and women what tznius looks like. What a missed opportunity, because street signs don't cut it. And I don't know if you heard this, but when they brought the draft of the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky to Rav Kanievsky, he flipped through it and said, "Why are there so many pictures of me? Where are the pictures of the Rebbetzin?"
Thank you very much, Dr. Klein.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure having you. Bye-bye.